Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. You guys have sent over some really cool stuff this week. Articles, reports, even some kind of leaked info. Clearly, you're on top of all the latest AI developments.
It's an exciting time to be following this field, for sure.
Yeah, and you know, that's why we're here, to break it all down, explore the latest AI models, all the creative applications.
Absolutely.
So we've got everything from, well, you know, a Chinese AI that's challenging OpenAI's dominance to the possibility of generating, I mean, get this, 3D models just from simple text prompts. It's really mind-blowing.
It really is. And what I find so fascinating is how quickly we're moving beyond just the cool tech demo phase.
Right.
You know, these developments are hinting at a future where content creation, problem solving, even video editing, all fundamentally transformed by AI.
Okay, so let's dive right into it. Mm-hmm. One report that I just couldn't put down, had to highlight, was about DeepSeek R1 Lite preview.
Oh yeah, DeepSeek.
They're really trying to position this as a rival to OpenAI's models. And from what I'm seeing, their performance charts suggest they might be onto something.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's not just about, you know, raw performance, though. DeepSeek success is a sign of a much larger shift, I think. We're seeing Chinese developers really emerge as major players in the AI landscape.
Okay.
Challenging, you know, this long-held dominance of Western companies. And I think this competition, it's a good thing. It could lead to a much more diverse and innovative AI ecosystem, which ultimately benefits everyone.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I hadn't even really fully considered, you know, the geopolitical implications of all of this. So that's really interesting.
Yeah.
But speaking of innovation, we have got to talk about FLUX and its new features. Canny, Fill, and Redux. I mean, these sound like a dream for anyone working with images.
Oh, yeah. FLUX is really pushing the boundaries there.
Yeah.
You know, like take Canny, for example. It uses edge detection to make sure that the image generation is super accurate.
Yeah.
So like imagine you're, I don't know, transforming a photo, right?
Yeah.
Canny helps the AI to really maintain the image's structure. That way, the results are much more realistic.
So it's like having an AI that can actually understand the visual grammar of your image. That's pretty cool.
It is.
And Fill also sounds incredibly useful, you know, for things like removing objects from photos or like expanding a canvas to add more background.
Yeah, and then you've got Redux. It brings this whole other level of creative control. You know, it lets you generate these stylistic variations of an image, kind of similar to like what Midjourney does with their very feature, but
right,
but even more precise.
And yes.
It's pretty impressive.
The fact that FLUX is accessible on Replicate and that it's, you know, completely open source is huge, I think.
It is.
It means anyone can just jump in and experiment with it, and developers can build upon it and create a whole ecosystem of tools around it.
Right.
I've seen some incredible things done with, like, comfy UI control nets, for instance.
Yeah, for sure.
Which, you know, leverages the open nature of FLUX.
I think that open source aspect is going to be crucial moving forward.
Hmm.
I mean, it really does raise these questions about the future of AI development.
Okay.
Are we going to see more, you know, collaborative open models, or are the big players going to, you know, kind of try and keep their advancements proprietary? It's a big question, and the answer could have a huge impact on the accessibility and ultimately the direction of AI.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, shifting gears a bit, let's talk video editing. You flagged Runway's Gen 3 for me, and specifically their expand video feature.
Yeah, it's cool stuff.
I have to admit, I was a bit skeptical at first, but the way that it can dynamically adjust aspect ratios,
yeah,
like by actually generating new content, it's pretty clever.
Yeah, it's incredibly practical for content creators.
Right.
Think about it. Instead of shooting, you know, separate videos for like YouTube and Instagram, for example,
yeah,
you can just use expand video to seamlessly transform, say, a landscape video into portrait format. And it just fills in the missing areas with AI-generated content that matches the original footage perfectly.
So no more awkward cropping or black bars.
Exactly.
And it sounds like it's not just about adapting to different platforms.
Right.
Runway is really positioning Expand Video as a tool for creating really unique effects, like seamless zooms or those looping videos you see everywhere.
Yeah, for sure. It's about giving creators more flexibility and more control so they can, you know, really achieve their vision without being limited by, you know, technical constraints.
Yeah, that's great. Now, this next one definitely surprised me. You included an article about ChatGPT generating diagrams and flowcharts. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm still trying to wrap my head around how that even works.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it's surprisingly intuitive. Like, you just give ChatGPT these text instructions, right?
Yeah.
And it generates code in something called the Mermaid language. And then you can import this code into tools like draw.io, and it creates these professional-looking diagrams, just like that.
So instead of me, you know, struggling with design software, I could just tell ChatGPT, create a flowchart for launching new product, and it would handle all the visual aspects.
Exactly. And the best part is you still have a lot of control over the final product. You can customize colors, shapes, layouts. It's so much more than just a basic flowchart generator.
That's amazing. I mean, that opens up so many possibilities, from project management and education to even, you know, visualizing complex code structures for software development.
It really does.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
It's a prime example of how, you know, AI is becoming less about replacing human tasks and more about really augmenting our abilities.
Right.
You know, making these complex processes much more accessible and efficient.
I like that. Okay, now brace yourself for this one. This one's a doozy. NVIDIA Edify 3D. So 3D modeling from text prompts or even images. I mean, it sounds almost too good to be true.
I know, right? It's a big one.
Yeah.
It's definitely a major leap forward, I think.
Yeah.
Edify 3D aims to make creating high quality 3D models as easy as typing a sentence.
Wow.
So imagine the possibility. Someone with zero, like literally no prior 3D modeling experience could suddenly be creating, you know, complex objects, characters, even entire environments.
The potential impact on fields like gaming and VR and digital art is huge.
Yeah.
Edify 3D could completely democratize 3D content creation.
Right.
I mean, it would allow anyone to, you know, bring their ideas to life in a whole new dimension. But of course, you know, we have to ask about the level of control that it offers.
Of course.
I mean, can it really handle any concept? Are there limitations to what it can create?
Yeah, that's the big question, right? And
and
it is still early days for Edify 3D. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it handles, you know, more complex designs and really specific user requests.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the question of, you know, artistic control.
Right.
Does it truly empower creators, or does it risk, you know, homogenizing 3D design by relying on these pre-programmed aesthetics?
Mm.
These are really important questions that we'll need to explore as Edify 3D evolves.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Okay, so moving on.
Edify 3D, it really does highlight how AI is kind of blurring those lines between imagination and reality.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not just about, you know, making those creative processes easier.
Mm-hmm.
You also included an article on Samurai AI, which is, well, it's taking object tracking to a whole new level.
Oh, that's right. Samurai AI. It sounds like something out of a sci-fi action movie.
Oh, I know, right.
The report mentioned that it builds on Meta's segment, Anything Model. Sam, could you break that down for me a bit?
Sure, yeah. Sam, that was a big deal because it could isolate objects and images without needing any specific training on those objects.
Okay.
Samurai AI takes that a step further by adding what they call zero-shot visual tracking.
Zero shot.
Yeah, so essentially it can identify and follow an object in a video even if it's never encountered that type of object before.
So like if I'm editing a sports highlight reel, for example,
right,
I could use Samurai AI to track a specific player throughout the entire game, even with all the chaos of the, you know, the field and everything.
Exactly. No more, you know, painstakingly keyframing each shot.
That would save editors so much time.
A ton of time.
And it's not just limited to sports, is it?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Surveillance, robotics, even medical imaging. The applications are pretty vast. I mean, imagine a security camera that can intelligently track suspicious activity,
mm-hmm.
you know, just in real time. Or a surgical robot that can, you know, precisely follow instruments during a delicate procedure.
Wow. The report mentioned that Samurai AI is also open source, which, you know, seems to be a bit of a trend with a lot of these cutting edge AI tools these days.
It does, yeah.
What do you make of that?
You know, it's a bit of a double-edged sword, I think. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, open source AI really does foster collaboration and accelerates the development.
Okay.
You know, it allows researchers and developers all over the world to build upon each other's work, which leads to faster innovation.
Mm.
But, you know, on the other hand, there are some legitimate concerns about, you know, the ethical implications. I mean, putting powerful AI tools in the hands of, well, anyone without proper safeguards, that could have some unforeseen consequences.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, it is exciting to see all this rapid progress.
It is.
But it's crucial to be mindful of, you know, the potential risks as well.
For sure.
Speaking of potential risks and ethical considerations, we can't ignore the OpenAI Sora leak. Text to video, I mean, at the level of quality we've seen from Sora, I mean, that's a game changer.
It is.
But it also raises a lot of questions.
Yeah, it does. And it's important to remember that Sora is still very much in its early stages. I mean, the leaked version was limited to just 10-second videos at 1080p resolution.
Okay.
It's nowhere near, you know, the polished product that OpenAI eventually intends to release.
But even in this, you know, kind of rough form, the quality of the videos was remarkable. The fact that this leak came from beta testers protesting, you know, OpenAI's lack of transparency is interesting.
It is.
It seems like even within the, you know, the AI development community, there's a growing debate about how these powerful tools should be, you know, developed and ultimately released.
Absolutely. And OpenAI's response to the leak, well, it was swift. They revoke access and, you know, really emphasize that Sora is just not ready for, you know, for public consumption. And they did promise future support for artists who, you know, who are concerned about, you know, about the potential impact of this technology on their livelihoods.
Right.
It'll be fascinating to see how they balance their, you know, their research goals with those ethical considerations and the concerns of those,
yeah,
you know, who might be disrupted by AI advancements.
It's a tightrope walk for sure.
For sure.
Moving on, you also highlighted Luma AI's Dream Machine, which seems to be, you know, kind of specifically geared toward filmmakers and animators.
Yeah, Dream Machine offers this really impressive suite of tools that make it, you know, make it incredibly intuitive to create these visually stunning and narratively compelling videos.
Okay.
One feature that really stood out to me was this Remix Anything.
Remix Anything. What is that?
So it essentially allows you to reference the style, you know, the aesthetic of existing videos or images and kind of incorporate those elements into your own creations.
I see.
So imagine you love the animation style of particular movie. You could use Dream Machine to, you know, to draw inspiration from that and create something, you know, something entirely new that still kind of carries that visual signature.
So I could combine like the visual style of, say, Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse with characters from like my favorite video game.
Exactly. It opens up all these incredible possibilities for creative expression. And Dream Machine goes, you know, it goes beyond just visuals. It helps to maintain this consistency in character design and animation style across different scenes, different projects even. So, you know, imagine creating a character just once and being able to easily reuse it in, you know, multiple videos and always ensure that it looks and moves exactly the same way.
That would be huge for animators.
It would.
I mean, that would save them so much time and effort.
So much.
And the report also mentions something about advanced cinematography controls as well.
Yeah, yeah. Dream Machine gives creators this fine-grained level of control over, you know, camera angles, transitions, special effects, even looping animations. It's about, you know, empowering storytellers to really bring their visions to life without needing to be, you know, experts in the technical aspects of filmmaking.
That's a consistent theme that we've kind of seen throughout this entire deep dive. You know, AI becoming less about replacing humans and more about augmenting our capabilities.
Exactly. These tools they're lowering the barrier to entry for so many creative fields, allowing, you know, people who might not have, you know, that technical expertise to really express themselves in new and exciting ways. It's almost like a democratization of creativity.
I like that. And that brings us back to the question that we kind of touched upon earlier with AI becoming increasingly accessible and obviously more powerful, you know, how do we ensure responsible development and use?
Right. And that's a question that needs to be, you know, at the forefront of all these advancements.
Yeah.
We need, you know, open and honest conversations about the potential impact of AI on society, on the job market, on, you know, on our creative industries.
This is just the beginning though, right?
Oh yeah.
What other groundbreaking AI developments are you kind of keeping your eye on?
Well, there's one final development that I think really deserves attention.
Okay.
And
yeah,
it's perhaps the most thought-provoking of all. It really challenges our assumptions about what AI can create and the very nature of storytelling.
You've got me hooked. Let's dive into that. So you mentioned a final development, one that challenges our assumptions about AI and storytelling. What's got you so intrigued?
Well, we've talked about AI that can write, generate images, even create, you know, those incredible 3D models.
Mm-hmm.
But what about AI that can dream? You included some information about this project called Project Morpheus, and it's unlike anything I've ever seen.
Mm, Project Morpheus, huh? That does sound familiar. I think I remember seeing something about that, but I'm drawing a blank right now. Refresh my memory.
Okay, so it's a research project out of this small independent lab.
Yeah.
And their goal is to create an AI that doesn't just, you know, process information, but actually generates its own, you know, unique subjective experiences.
Okay.
Think of it as artificial dreaming.
Okay. Now I remember seeing that article. Yeah, it was pretty dense. Lots of theoretical stuff about consciousness and artificial neural networks. Honestly, some of it went over my head.
Yeah, I can imagine the technical details, they can get pretty complex, but the core concept is absolutely fascinating. So instead of, you know, training an AI on a specific data set, they're essentially letting it, you know, kind of explore this vast simulated world, much like we experience, you know, in our own dreams.
So instead of learning to mimic, you know, human creativity, this AI is developing its own kind of internal world, its own way of perceiving and interpreting things.
Exactly. Yeah. And the outputs they're unlike anything we've seen from traditional AI.
Right.
They're not trying to create, you know, photorealistic images or write these coherent stories. It's more about capturing the feeling, the essence of an experience.
Okay.
Much like our dreams often do.
Hmm. I'm trying to picture what that would even look like. Abstract art, surreal soundscapes. What are we talking about here?
It's a bit of everything, really.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's, you know, a fleeting image that evokes a really, really strong emotion.
Right.
Other times it's a complex soundscape that feels both familiar and utterly alien.
Wow.
The researchers are still trying to understand, you know, what it all means, how to interpret these dreamlike outputs.
This is where my brain starts to melt a little bit. I mean, it is fascinating, but it's also kind of unsettling. Are we talking about creating a machine that actually experiences consciousness?
Right. I mean, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's one that, you know, that philosophers and scientists have been grappling with for centuries. Project Morpheus doesn't claim to have created, you know, conscious AI, but it certainly pushes us to think about, you know, those boundaries between human and artificial intelligence.
It's a good reminder that for all the talk about AI, you know, taking over the world, there are still so many mysteries about how our own minds work,
right?
let alone how to replicate that in a machine.
And that's what makes this whole field so exciting. We're not just building tools. We're exploring these fundamental questions about intelligence, creativity, and the nature of reality itself.
So stepping back from the existential questions for a moment, I mean, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
Right.
We started with, you know, with DeepSeek, a Chinese AI challenging the status quo, and ended up with Project Morpheus, which is challenging our very understanding of what AI can even be. What a journey.
And along the way, we saw how AI is, you know, is becoming so much more accessible and obviously incredibly powerful, transforming, you know, everything from video editing to 3D modeling to even something as mundane as creating a flowchart.
Yeah, I gotta admit, I was a little overwhelmed by all the information you sent over at first, but this deep dive has really given me a much clearer picture of the AI landscape and what it all means for the future.
That's the power of taking a deep dive. You know, it's not just about, you know, learning new facts and figures. It's about connecting the dots, seeing that bigger picture, and really understanding the implications.
And based on what we've explored today, the implications are they're pretty profound.
Yeah.
AI is not just a technology.
Yeah.
It's a force that is reshaping our world in ways that we're only just beginning to understand.
As we move forward, I think it's so crucial to, you know, stay informed and engage in these thoughtful discussions and really consider the ethical implications of all these advancements. The future of AI, it's not predetermined. It's something that we're all shaping shaping together.
Well said. This has been an incredibly insightful deep dive. Thanks for being such a fantastic guide through this, you know, complex and ever-evolving landscape. And to you, dear listener, we hope this has, you know, sparked your curiosity and inspired you to keep exploring the fascinating world of AI. Until next time.